Hello and a big welcome to Hulkcast 124. As usual, it's me, James Rushton, and once again, I'm joined by Danny Raza. How are you getting on, pal?
Hey, man, I'm good. Been a bit of a lazy weekend, I'll tell you that. It's another one of them where Villa haven't done too well, and England haven't done too well in the Ashes either. So it's been a bit of a negative week in sport, so been chilling at home, really.
Yeah, man, I feel a bit under home arrest. I've been playing Batman on the PS4. I've done everything there is. I've 100%ed the game. I've drank about 75 cans of Coke Zero. Villa depressed me. We'll get onto that. But yeah, it's been a very lazy weekend, and I don't think, you know, the lack of optimism on the football pitch has helped that at all, mate.
No, definitely not, mate. Coke Zero, though. That much? Like, that's still bad for you, James.
Yeah, I'm still feeling pretty buzzed from it, to be fair. I think there's stuff in there. It's not healthy at all, is it? You know, if you think it's got no sugar in it, it's going to be healthier. But at least my teeth don't feel like, you know, squishy or horrible.
Definitely. Well, they're not going to break like our defence did. So, I mean, that's...
Oh, no. Like water over rocks, mate. It wasn't good at all. And 2-0 to Derby, a promotion rival, playoff rival, automatic promotion rival. Not positive at all. Really nothing of major note to speak about after that match. Villa folded very early. And what were your expectations going into this match before the result?
James, we spoke about this match last week. And the thing that we said was that we had to take the game to Derby. We had to go out there and attack them because Derby are a good side. This is a Derby team which have now gone, I believe, 5 games with 5 wins and 5 clean sheets. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that is the statistic. Gary Rowett has been doing very well with them. They've got a good side going forward. Wyman did well. Him even scoring against us. You know, David Nugent obviously starting up top for them as well. And then, you know, my expectation before that game might have been that, okay, Steve Bruce does something which is a little bit more exciting. He would have learned from the Millwall game like he said he would have done, right? He said that he said after the Millwall game that perhaps they needed to try something different, but they did not. They started out. In fact, you know what? No, they did do something different, right? But it wasn't a positive change, was it? They didn't replace Keenan Davis with another striker. They replaced him with Jack Grealish, obviously then putting Onimar up front. Essentially, we went into that game with 6 midfielders, 4 defenders, and obviously Sam Johnstone in goal. And as soon as I saw that team sheet, I had absolutely no doubt in my mind that we were going to tumble over. And unfortunately, that is what we did.
Villa were no good at all, mate. And I think they were set up to fail. We'll get a lot more into the preparation and, you know, the manager later. But let's just focus on that single position, the position of the striker. Keenan Davis was said to be ill or extremely ill in the morning of the match. And for whatever reason, he wasn't replaced. So the game plan, I guess, was not to change anything, but more so push Onimar up front. A lot of people are saying Jack Grealish is a false nine. Bruce trying to emulate Pep Guardiola by, playing off the flanks, bringing a deeper striker in to make sure those wingers can get up. I didn't really see that at all. What I saw was them just trying to play the same way with Josh Onimar, a midfielder, instead of Keenan Davis. And that made me very uncomfortable. The positioning, the way the team was set up, we'll get onto Bruce later. But more so, the way this squad was set up was incredibly strange, especially with Scott Hogan on the bench.
Oh, mate, it was just disgusting to me. Like, I use that term. It's disgusting because what you've got is you've got a load of fans travelling over to Derby expecting Villa to take a game to them and to, you know, perform. And I'm not going to blame the players over here. I mean, there were individual errors during that game, which obviously you can put the players at fault for, but then you have the nerve to go ahead and start a team which clearly shows no intention to win the game. And Steve Bruce coming out with that comment after the game as well, perhaps I should have started one of them. What an absolute joke. That is a direct quote. Perhaps I should have started a striker, essentially. And Josh Onimar up front. This almost feels like, and I hate to go into a reference over here with something which a lot of football fans might not understand, but I'm a wrestling fan, right? This is something which happened to us, right? You essentially got a guy like John Cena or Roman Reigns, right, who is essentially pushed and rewarded and constantly been given the spotlight, constantly being given the main event status, and essentially even though people don't understand what's good about them, even though people don't like watching them, they're consistently being pushed. And this is what I'm seeing with Josh Onimer now with Steve Bruce. Why is Josh Onimer being rewarded for his poor performances? Why is Josh Onimer playing every single game and being pushed up top as a striker, as a replacement for Keenan Davis, when he has shown absolutely no reason whatsoever for him even to be starting? This is my problem. We're rewarding players who aren't playing well, essentially, and we're not giving any chances to any of the younger lot who are being stopped from getting into the game. Now, is this because Steve Bruce is scared that Tottenham Hotspur won't be happy with the way that he's handling his loan spell? I don't know, but I need some explanation as to why this guy is playing.
No, I don't think you're alone in thinking that. I mean, we asked for a load of questions and we did get a pile of them. And I guess when stuff's going bad, you're more likely to get a fan response. So again, I thank everyone who's wrote into us today because there is a lot to go on. In regards to the striker situation, Colin Jackson said, that's at Colin Jackson on Twitter, Colin Jackson 191, sorry, Gabby could have played 45 minutes and swapped for Hogan. We've put a midfield player instead. And regardless of, you know, if Onimer's playing bad or good, he should not be in that position at all, especially with two strikers on the bench.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is the thing, right? Like, even if you are convinced about Onimer's performances, what on earth do you see in Josh Onimer's attributes that warrant him being played up front? It's almost like he's just decided to go, right, okay, you're an attacking midfielder, you kind of know how to attack, let's just put you up in that position. The guy's probably never played there in his whole life. And yeah, I mean, the comment obviously from Twitter, if Steve Bruce's justification for not starting Gabby and Hogan is that they might be a little bit injured, then, well, yeah, give them 45 minutes each. It's common sense, isn't it? It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. You're going away at Derby, one of the best teams in the league at the moment, one of the teams which are in form with one of the brightest young managers tactically. How on earth is playing six midfielders going to achieve anything? You're not going to win, let alone draw.
Well, going on, there's a few more comments here. MB Miller on Twitter, MB Miller ROC, says, did Hourihan even take a single shot on goal? So what I'm gathering is that we're not playing a striker to, you know, maybe... I don't disagree with not playing a striker. It's not like I think it's an awful idea. I think it's an awful idea for Aston Villa. But in a footballing terms and in theory, I don't think you necessarily need a striker. If you've got talented wingers, you can bring into play. But you need support from midfield, and Hourihan and Whelan didn't really have much influence. Whelan obviously having an awful mistake, and I won't single him out for being terrible because the whole team were, you know, there was only a few players who can really leave that match with any sort of pride. But Hourihan didn't even have a single shot. You know, he didn't do much. And when you're not playing with a striker or someone who is a natural striker, you need the midfield to support. And going on to Josh Onimer, Jay Bugden 82 on Twitter, why are we fielding another team's talent when we have our own talent? I'm having real trouble warming to Onimer. I just don't rate him. And I think a lot of fans are turning on Josh now because he's not our player, and his performances have been 6 out of 10 at best of recent.
Oh, absolutely. And he doesn't look like he's doing enough whatsoever. He goes missing during games, even when he's playing in midfield. So it's not just his performance being up top, it's his performance from midfield as well. I'd like to know how many chances the guy's actually created, because they all seem to be coming from the wing. Now, Adoma and Snodgrass can't be expected to be doing it every single week. You know, you need somebody who's behind the striker, especially in a game like today. But you need everybody performing well, don't you, to some degree. And Josh Onimer, he hasn't done enough for me whatsoever. Every now and then he might pop up with a decent effort, fair enough. But is he a team player? I don't know. I'm struggling to understand what Josh Onimer is offering us that somebody like Callum O'Hare might, especially considering that a lot of these young players in our academy are going to be, you know, chomping at the bits to basically, you know, put themselves in the side on a consistent basis, you know, like Keenan Davis did it. We gave him a chance because we had to. And now the guy's actually today, we were missing him. And there's going to be other young players in our academy who are able to do that. And I'm sorry, when it comes down to it, when it comes to starting a striker. And, you know, if we didn't have Gabby, if we didn't have Hogan, fair enough. But I'd rather have a young player who's been training in that position for a number of years than us just forcing in, as you say, another team's talent in that position when we don't really need to be.
It's probably worth saying that Josh Anema isn't the worst player to have played for Aston Villa. He's been played out of position multiple times across the pitch. He's not been given the right instructions. So again, it is worth saying we shouldn't do a Glenn Whelan and scapegoat him, but we should reflect on the fact that maybe he does need to be rotated out of the team, maybe does need to be played in a better position or a more natural position. Because again, we're not getting the best out of this clearly talented player. And whether it's a case of, you know, a lot of people say we shouldn't nurture other team's talent while we've got our own, but if we can use or cultivate Josh Anema in a way that works for us, then we absolutely should. But it's not happening at the moment.
No, exactly. But the point of a loan player is that they're supposed to help your team, or they're supposed to basically push your team forward a little bit, improve them. But at a time where he's not going to be doing that, there's no point in starting him. It's our interest should always be playing the best possible side, obviously with the best chance to win. And I don't think Steve Bruce did that yesterday. To me, it just seemed like he was forcing the kid into the side purely because, you know, he's a bigger name, I guess. And purely because, I don't know, it might be something to do with loan agreements. It might be something to do with the fact he doesn't want to upset Josh Anema, obviously coming from a Premier League side, but he shouldn't feel under pressure to be playing him at the end of the day, because if he's not improving the team, there's no point of him being in there.
Dino Pius on Twitter said, "We lack the fluid play and off the ball mobility of an automatic promotion team or a Premier League team. You did not Grealish, Lansbury, all back his options in the middle. But after paying big bucks for Hogan, we need to give him a run against to decide his future." We are in an identity crisis, I feel. And I mean, it's very easy to go after that match and look at all doom and gloom. You know, we haven't won in three games. We can be really negative if we want. But we are seeing the kind of same problems over and over again. It's Villa struggle to break down teams, you know, unless there's masses of individual talent on display or a player literally grabs the game by the balls and runs with it, then, you know, nothing's going to happen. You know, you have to rely on Robert Snodgrass putting a peach of a ball in, Albert Adoma running over a team, or Jonathan Codger, you know, doing his thing. And without that, you know, when that form drops, we get into these situations like the Millwall match and this match where we just kind of, we are nothing. There is nothing about us that's special.
But James, we created chances. We created chances yesterday because we played Jack Grealish. We gave him a chance on the side and he did create chances. Yeah, we had the absolutely awful mistake from Glenn Whelan earlier on, but to some degree, you know, we were going forward, but we didn't have a freaking striker on the pitch. You can't win a game. You can't bring a side down unless you've got a proper player up top who knows what he's doing. I've only ever seen a false nine work a couple of times before. Once with Lionel Messi, and perhaps once with Jeremy Menez at Milan years ago. But we don't have that kind of forward who's going to be able to sit in that kind of position. Sorry, that kind of attacking midfielder who's going to sit in that position and bring other players in, because we're just not that pretty as a team. But we did create chances yesterday. And
yeah, I mean, it's worth saying that Snodgrass had a chance cleared off the line, and this conversation is entirely different if that goes in, right?
Well, I mean, it depends, doesn't it? It depends if we're able to hold on. But would Steve Bruce have then gone ahead and brought on Gabby? He probably wouldn't have, would he? He probably would have decided to carry on with Anema up top because clearly he thought it would be working. Now, the thing is, Derby were always going to be more likely to score during that game because they had a forward and because they had more attacking players on the pitch. You know, and that's pretty much, you know, that's pretty much the way I saw it. Derby were happy for us to have possession, but we could have done more with it. We perhaps could have done more with it. And I think the other thing you got to remember about Snodgrass's chance was it was on his right foot. It was on his weaker foot. And, you know, the Derby defender was always on the line there. He was always getting to it.
Some positives then. Jack Grealish, mate, played exceptionally well from what I've seen of the match and what I've heard, you know, applauding the Villa fans before the match, giving a real spirited performance, and it is good to see him back in the side.
No, it's fantastic to see Jack Grealish back in the team. I think we've lacked him for a while because we do lack that kind of player. I mean, we've got Adoma, which is good, but other than, say, Adoma recently, especially with Jonathan Codger injured, we've lacked that kind of player who enjoys running at defenders and taking them on, and it's good to see that back again. We do need a little bit of that sometimes, and it's good to have him here as an option. And Jack Grealish now is showing us, you know, why, how talented he really is. I think he's always shown us that, but, you know, obviously him being injured for such a long time, we've been missing that slightly. And I think he's starting to come into his own again. Now, Jack Grealish is fantastic, but I want him linking up with somebody decent up top. You know, we're never going to do well if Grealish is running forward and he's got nobody supporting him. You know, that's the thing with him at the end of the day. And I don't think Grealish works too well with the wingers either, if I'm totally honest with you. I think he is genuinely the guy you need behind the striker. And I did see a bit of that today. Yesterday, even.
Well, yeah, he always looks to make things happen. He's a genuinely intelligent footballer. Some of the decisions he does make are poorly timed. He does like to show off, and he does like to be the star of the match. And I think that's a player Villa didn't really need for the last few years, but it's someone they're kind of needing now. So a few more starts under his belt. Maybe if we play the right tactics, especially the lineup. I don't give a monkeys about instructions or what he's telling the players. If you can get the right people in the right positions, then there should be enough instinct there, especially with people like Grealish, Adoma, Davis and Snodgrass. They're pure talent. Now, let's figure that all these players are pretty talented in their own right. So that can make things happen. You know, just maybe a little bit of time. Hopefully we can scrape a few wins until things start coming in together again, because I'm looking at the fixture sheet now. We'll get onto a lot of fixture talk later, especially with the next match against Sheffield United. It doesn't look like a great deal of games for Villa coming up. It does look pretty tough. Sam Johnstone will be very important in those games, mate, as he was yesterday. Any words on the boy in goal?
I did think that he did save quite a lot of chances, didn't he, from Derby, especially earlier on. There were quite a few opportunities, which I think Villa just handed to Derby quite often during that game. I think there was one that comes to my head a little bit earlier on, David Nugent, but I think, come to think of it, I think Nugent might have just missed that one altogether. But there were quite a lot of opportunities where Johnstone did step in. I mean, having said that, it's a shame he couldn't have kept the others out, but I don't think Glenn Whedon really gave him much of a chance in the first one.
No, it's just a pure mistake. Again, I won't, you know, go too hard on Glenn, because the whole team was poor, apart from those bright spots, you know, Johnstone.
Yeah, mate, that was unforgivable. I've seen that too many times from Villa midfielders over the past few years. Glenn Whelan's not the only one to have ever done it, but you don't see other teams doing it. That's all I'm going to say. I've never seen, I barely ever see that happen to Villa. I mean, happen against Villa. It's part and parcel of what happens when you set a team out to defend. If you're telling them to go the other way, then that's going to happen every now and then, isn't it? And I think it's more of a mentality thing than than a skillful thing, I guess.
Tell you what, I'd rather we have set up with 5 centre backs and 5 central midfielders and just hold the middle of the park like a stupid, weird kind of anti-football formation, rather than what we put out yesterday, because what we put out yesterday was really embarrassing.
It was embarrassing, and even still, right, if you're going to put out a team to defend the game out and not concede any goals, then don't put a midfielder at centre-back. Like, I'm sorry about coming in so hard about this, but why is Jedinak playing at centre-back? We've got Richie Delat, you know, we've got other defenders around, haven't we? I'm pretty sure Tommy Elphick is still available, and I think, obviously it's something that we've been talking about, how he hasn't been very good, you know, when he has played. But, you know, flipping egg, rather him than Jedinak at centre back. Don't get me wrong, I love Mile Jedinak, but he's not a central defender. He never has been, you know. And I'm just very, very confused as to what Steve Bruce was trying to do yesterday. I had no clue whatsoever. Now, sometimes that's actually good if you're able to confuse the other side, but if you're going to confuse the other side, at least do it well.
Maybe would Jedinak be better as part of a back three, where he can be maybe a more of a ball-playing defender, someone who's going to take the ball a bit forward, maybe more of a half-back, I'd think, if he had some support on either side of him?
I mean, you could put him in the David Luiz position. That might work. But Steve Bruce's 5 at the back formation has never worked for us. I don't see any reason why it would do. Plus, to do that, we'd need to have 2 strikers up top. And Steve Bruce didn't even want to start 1 yesterday. That's how I feel about that.
Let's go into that decision then, mate, because it sounds like there's something that you know, the words are almost coming out of your lips about this. Why did Steve Bruce not want to start a striker at all?
Do you know what? I don't know. It's really, really difficult for me to understand why he didn't do it. I think he wanted to shove all of his fancy attacking players up there without being criticized. And I don't understand what in his head made him think that there was any chance we were going to win with Onuma up top. But it's almost like he thought, right, I need to pick Jack Grealish, but I can't drop any of Adoma, Snodgrass, or Onuma. So he thought, I know, I'm going to stick Onuma up top, and I'm going to, you know, put every single one of these players in the team. That way, no one can have a go at me if it went wrong. But unfortunately, he's got some sort of issue with with Scott Hogan. I can understand why Gabby didn't start. Gabby's been injured for a long time. Scott Hogan, on the other hand, he's been in and around for the last few weeks. He's been getting back into fitness. What is the point of leaving him on the bench? James, we are the side who last season decided to sign Jonathan Codger, Ross McCormack, and Scott Hogan. All three of those strikers were in the form of their life before they came to Villa. These are three strikers who you would consider going all out for in the Championship, right? No other side had the capabilities of doing that. And here we are, sitting here, not 2 years later, and talking about how we don't have a striker. What on earth is that? McCormack is over in Australia, Scott Hogan is rotting on the bench, and Jonathan Codger is out until the end of the season. I really want to understand how Steve Bruce, in his own mind, can sit there and start a midfielder up top when this is the situation we've had over the last year and a half. That is why I think it's a disgrace. And no side should be talking about not having a recognised striker in their ranks, especially not of our stature in the Championship. Because I tell you what, there's sides with far worse financial situations than us. And they've all got strikers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation that is completely of our own making, isn't it? Any manager, as Roy Gremley in the UK on Twitter said, any manager that doesn't play a striker deserves to get done over, turned over. And I completely agree. There are situations where not playing a striker can work. You know, if your team is playing fluid, brilliant football on the floor, bringing in wingers, you know, attacking from the flanks, cutting in and pushing up, playing with a high line and getting that press going, it's going to work every single time for you. You don't need a striker if you're doing that because you're going to pack the box with talented players. Villa aren't doing that. Villa are lumping it forward. I don't dislike Steve Bruce. I do think he has been good to us so far, especially with some of the football we've seen over the last few years. He doesn't play tasty, attractive football, but he has got us, you know, feeling good. And this podcast is testament to that, isn't it? How we've been so positive recently. But we do have to be realistic about how bad that was.
It was awful. And the thing is that the other thing is, there's no situation. All right, Jonathan Codger's injured. All right, Ross McCormack's gone over to Australia to sort out his fitness. I don't know why we'd set him over there. But we've got Scott Hogan on the bench. They're all available. Like, it's not like Steve Bruce doesn't have the facets. We're just sitting here confused about his lineup and how on earth he's come to that conclusion that was the right team to start. I mean, you just think about it. Like, don't get me wrong. Actually, no, I was going to say El Mohamedy starting was a good thing, but then I just realized he was forced to do it. So, I mean, forget whatever point I was going to make there about Steve Bruce thinking about his team selection. I don't know what goes on in his head, but it almost feels like he gets peer pressure and just starting the biggest names players he can find in that team, pretty much.
Well, at Villain Shaw said to us earlier that Bruce got it wrong. He said in a press conference that he got it wrong against Millwall. You know, he felt weird starting Henry Lansbury. He felt almost obliged to start Lansbury and things didn't go right for him. And he would learn from this. But how wrong could he have been? That was not learning at all. That was worse.
He didn't learn anything, mate. Listen, last week, and I commented on that whole Millwall situation, right? That comment about Henry Lansbury was absolute BS. Like, He was just looking for a scapegoat for another poor performance. At the end of the day, Steve Bruce seems to be playing teams which protect him from any sort of criticism. That's what I saw today anyway. I mean, you know, that he just decides that he'll play all the best players, and then, you know, anybody who hasn't been in his team selection, you know, for the most part of this season, he's almost scared to play them for the you know, in case they don't play well. And I don't know what exactly he learned from the Millwall game, because he didn't change anything really, did he? Like, I can't see what he changed apart from bringing Grealish in. And that was almost a forced choice.
There wasn't a great deal of change, and there wasn't a great deal of positivity on display, mate. And, you know, a lot of the Villa fan base are feeling negative. You know, we've had comments comparing Steve Bruce to Mike Bassett after yesterday, and I don't think that's that far off, you know what I mean? And I don't want to, you know, Steve Bruce obviously knows a lot more about football than anyone commenting, you know, he's been in the game long enough, but these mistakes are so clear, and it's agonizing to see some of the things you're doing. That being said, we are still, you know, it's not the end of days. We are still in the playoff hunt. It's going to take a lot for us to be pushed out of that, but we really do need to book our ideas.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, and like, don't get me wrong, he's not as much of a Mike Bassett as Steve Cottrell. Like, Birmingham City have definitely got the upper hand on that situation. But like, yeah, I mean, it is a case of pushing forward. But like, we say this every single week, and it's been about 3 weeks on the trot now where we haven't had a result. And James, every single weekend after that podcast, we said, all right, we'll pick ourselves up, right? We'll go in, we'll have a new idea, we'll do something a little bit different. There's been minor changes every single week, but we're still playing the same brand of football. We're still not going out there to win games, unfortunately, at the end of the day. And we're still conceding goals early on. So unless Steve Bruce decides that he wants to take a game by the scruff of its neck, then unfortunately things aren't going to change. Because we're not scaring anybody at the top of the table over there. Well, we've literally, over the course of the month, thrown away automatic promotion. It's not going to happen. It's not happening now, unfortunately, because this side is just not capable of a consistent run of good games without Steve Bruce. Without him essentially, like, you know, sapping the magic out of however well we're playing. And I think it's looking even more likely. It's been looking like this for the last couple of weeks or so. It's been looking more and more likely that Albert Adoma run was a little bit of luck that was hiding a lot of things that have been wrong with our play. And I think in January, Steve Bruce has a lot to do. We need to loan in a striker, or we need to start putting our faith in the guys that we actually have. And I think I'm leaning more towards the idea of loaning in a striker, considering that Kadir's out until the end of the season. But then again, we don't seem to make good decisions on that front in terms of picking players that suit our style of football.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... We've been linked to more than one striker. I'm not sure how to say his name. The guy from Leicester, Leonardo... Iloa.
You know what? The commentators can't really decide. It's either Iloa or Ujoa. It's one of those.
Yeah, I'd like to at least pay him the decency of trying to get it right, because he might be a Villa player soon. But Lewis Graban, Rolando Ahrens, Ollie McBurney, Alfredo Morelos of Rangers, Iloa, Jack Marriott and Naki Wells are among the strikers we're kind of chasing. And none of them kind of inspire me at all.
Right, listen. Naki Wells... Right, tell me the difference between Naki Wells and Scott Hogan, because I don't see an awful lot of difference over there, right? Ujoa, okay, that's something a little bit different, right? He's something that I do understand, because, you know, it's been a while since we've actually had a proper, like, commanding centre forward. Like, we've got Keenan Davis, like, don't get me wrong, but he's not quite there yet. Since Gestede went, stupid decision, by the way. I've ranted about this one plenty of times. Stupid decision, by the way. Since Gestede went, we haven't had a dominant, you know, centre forward who's a little bit big. And I think that could mean that if we are going to be playing, you know, lump football up top, Ulloa will create some danger for us. Graben does well, tends to score goals, probably has done that in more for sides in the Championship which have actually been playing good football and actually, you know, work well as a unit. Anyway, doesn't seem to do it in the Premier League, unfortunately. And as for anybody from the SPL, is it the SPL, Scottish Premier League?
Yeah, yep.
I'm not having it. Unless it's Moussa Dembele, I'm not having it, because I can't remember the last person who came over from there and did well as a forward.
Even then, if you're playing for Rangers third in the Scottish Premier League right now, chance of European football, do you move? I mean, Aston Villa, it's more illustrious. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of money. But I take the chance for Europa League football, mate, to be clear. Because, you know, you get to be on such a good stage. You get to play on midweek TV. You get to be in the eyes of the world. Rangers aren't going to win the Europa League. Let's not get that wrong. They're barely going to qualify for it. But still, at a higher level than Villa, that European stage is going to be... It's going to be a level that we can't provide as well, is it?
Yeah, but on that basis, why isn't Christian Benteke playing for Karabag FC?
Yeah, you know, perfect. That's a perfect counterpoint, mate. Christian Benteke saved Crystal Palace the other day, man. I'm glad to see he's finally kicking on, because they weren't getting on well over the last few weeks when he took that penalty and missed it. But yeah, Steve Bruce, mate, final point on him. A lot of people are worried about him. Would you want to end those worries, or would you look to kind of... Would you like to support him, or would you kind of start to think twice again about him?
Sounded like a mafia boss there, man. Would you like to end those worries? would you like to take him out?
He's probably got more dodgy connections than any of us have. He's probably got some dodgy connections. Steve Bruce,
not at all. No, see,
he looks like Fat Tony from The Simpsons, mate.
Steve Bruce.
Yeah, he looks like Fat Tony from The Simpsons.
Was he the Italian guy?
The mob boss with the bags under his eyes. Steve Bruce looks exactly like him.
Oh,
no one can tell me otherwise.
Don't know if I see that, man. Don't know if I see that. But I mean, I get where you're coming from. I get the feel you're going for. But no, I mean, I don't think it's worth sacking Steve Bruce. But somebody needs to get Steve Bruce in a room and just say, like, come on, mate, like, get your ideas together. There needs to be some progressiveness. And I know Tony's ear sees that. Right, but I don't know who's advising him or what backroom staff we have, but I think we need somebody else in who's got a little, you know, got some cojones, right? Who's got some balls, who's able to tell Steve Bruce that, you know, we don't need to be playing this way every single week. Like, well, it was working a few weeks ago, but then something has changed about our play, and I think it is to do with the tiredness, and I think it is to do with playing the same players every single week. I think part of it is not having a proper, like, recognized striker who's leading the line every single week. I think that's, you know, one of the main things which has gone wrong. But I think Villa need to understand their mentality going forward a little bit more. And I think as things stand, whilst we can't do that, I think Steve Bruce needs to buck up his ideas, and instead of playing not to lose, we need to start playing to win. And I think that might mean playing two strikers up front. You know, at least give it a go, because the way that we're playing at the moment, it's a bit like Golden Balls. You know the game Golden Balls, right? Like, if you're gonna sit back and play to draw, right? There's a chance you're not gonna draw. There's a chance you're not gonna win out of it, right? A lot of the time you're going to lose. But if you play to win, then at least you've got a chance. And most of the time you're going to win something. And I think that this is the way that we need to start thinking about things. We need to take that risk a little bit more. Because as the side which, you know, has the more talented players than most of the teams in the Championship, if we take that risk, more often than not, it's going to come off well. And I will not have a problem with us losing 3-2 every now and then, as long as we go out there and win games. What I'm seeing at the moment is Steve Bruce is really, really afraid. Like, this team just does not want to lose. But you can only do that for so long. You can only defend for so long. And we've seen it for years. It's never worked for any single manager who's tried to do that with us. Paul Lambert, Alex McLeish went wrong for every single for both of them. Tim Sherwood near the end of his career as well at Villa. Same thing. Just never going to work. And we need to start utilising the players that we actually have.
Speaking of up and down performances, mate, we play Sheffield United next Saturday, 5:30. I believe that's on TV as well. And I think it is going to be quite a packed atmosphere at Villa Park. So if you haven't got tickets, get them, because it is, you know, it's going to be a loud one. Ideally, and I think we all need to get behind Villa and support, because this is a crucial match, mate. This is a smash and grab team of the Championship so far. They either win or lose. There's one draw all season. That was against Blues. They haven't won in a while. They haven't won since before that Blues game. They lost against Millwall. They lost against Bristol City, and they lost against Preston. So they are on a downward spiral, but that kind of mirrors Villa in the sense that Sheffield United were running away with things, you know, not a few weeks ago, and now it's a different story. Now they're on equal points with us, but we're also struggling to find a win.
Mate, they haven't won in a month. And they just concede. I mean, they're hemorrhage goals, Sheffield United. They absolutely hemorrhage them. It all started with that 5-4 defeat to Fulham. I remember watching, I think it was it, what was it they've got on Sky Sports News all the time during the, is it Soccer Saturday? Is that what it is?
Yes, yeah. Something like Super something, isn't it?
Yeah, just throw a load of S's in there, isn't it, basically.
Yeah.
I remember watching it, and obviously, it was good for them for some degree, because obviously, Leon Clark got the got his hat trick, but yeah, Fulham basically, basically hammered them. Now, the thing is, like, Sheffield United, clearly the bubble has burst. They are a team who have obviously come up from League One. You know, they've got a little bit of spunk about them, right? They're playing well. You know, there's a little bit of arrogance going on in that side. You know, they've got some good young players in there. They've got two good forwards in Leon Clark and Billy Sharp. But what's happened is, over the last few games, they're probably suffering from a little bit of Villa syndrome. They took one defeat, and all of a sudden, their confidence is gone. And they're easy to score goals against by the looks of it. And I think this is a thing where, you know, we as a side should be taking on them and basically looking to exploit their weakness at the moment. Because, you know what, as low on confidence Villa might be at the moment after three games without a win, Sheffield United are going to be far worse off. Like, there is no excuse for not obliterating them at this point in the season. Because I'll tell you what, towards the end of December, I don't see them getting any better now. I think they've had their good run. I think they've had their, had their honeymoon period. Well, I think the bubble's about to burst. Only problem is Villa are the only side really who seem capable of ending a team's bad run.
I see their goal difference. I see their results. It's win or lose for these guys, and it is a lot of goals either way. Do you reckon it's going to be another case of another 5-4 at Villa Park? I mean, Villa need to score some goals, right? And Sheffield United like them, but they also score a load of goals, and Villa aren't the greatest at the back right now.
We ain't scoring 5 goals, but I tell you what we should be doing. We should be playing 2 forwards. Like, but I think Sheffield United are probably going to line up with 3 at the back. Like, I think that's how I expect them to start anyway. They like playing with wing backs, don't they? Ender Stevens up on the left hand side, by the way, worth mentioning him. But like, I think, you know, with Sheffield United playing as wide as they do as well, we need to exploit the centre a little bit. I would go as far as saying, right, and this might, you know, come across as a little bit silly to some people, but I would go as far as saying we need to drop one of Snodgrass and Odoma and play Grealish on the left hand side. I think we need to go Grealish, Hourihane, maybe even Lansbury instead of Whelan. No, Lansbury's injured now, isn't he? Hourihane, Whelan, and then, you know, obviously Odoma or Snodgrass on the right-hand side. And I think we need to go with the two up top against them, because we need to make these kinds of teams panic. We need to make them sweat. Sheffield United are going to be scared because they haven't won a game in ages. Like I said, you know, they've had 3 defeats in the last 4 games. Why on earth would we start, you know, one striker, or why would we play to, you know, draw and nick this game when we could quite easily smash and grab this? I think it's as simple as that for us, if I'm totally honest, mate. This should be a smash and grab.
Well, one man is an expert at that, Gabriel Bonlahor. Do you see him returning or having a role at all? I mean, he did play. We haven't seen him in a while, but he did play against Derby, didn't he? Despite the loss, the 2-0 loss. Is this a game where he features for you?
Do you know what? Play Gabby, right? In all seriousness, right, the guy is an awful footballer at times. Like, I don't know quite what to, quite not what to give him in terms of, you know, attributes and skill. And also, he's just not consistent. You can't have him playing for the whole season. But you know what? He's sitting there with a contract at the moment. He is in the squad. And he's the kind of player that does get us a goal when we've been on a bad run. When he comes back, when he wants to prove something, Gabby does well. Like, he puts his passion into the game, doesn't he? And I think, you know, it's very difficult for me to then go ahead and justify playing a youngster ahead of him when, you know, when we do need the points, because, you know, Gabby's got the chance of doing that. And I think I'd start him up top. And honestly, I would start him up top with Scott Hogan. Like, might be the case that Keenan Davis is going to be fit again, better again. And that might be fair enough, but I think Keenan Davis needs a little bit of tough love. I think he needs a little bit of a spell out of the side.
just a little bit, you know, because I don't think he's consistent enough to warrant, you know, being played up top all the time. I think now is the time where we pick, where we put the men back in the team. And I think Scott Hogan, he's got something to prove. Gabby Agbonlahor's got something to prove. And I tell you what, with the support of the wingers that we do have, there's no excuses why we wouldn't be able to score goals with those two up top.
Any danger men that you've kind of spotted out about Sheffield United this season? Is there anyone on their team who could give Villa, you know, some heebie-jeebies?
Oh, Billy Sharp and Leon Clark are always going to do that, aren't they? They're always going to create something. I believe they have Clayton Donaldson as well on the bench who could always do something. So it might be a case of him starting. But my problem with Sheffield United is I don't think that their creative players are amazing whatsoever. I mean, they got Baldock and Ender Stevens on either side. Stevens, actually, to be fair to him, has played fairly well this season, but I can see him being absolutely shut out if Alan Hutton is back in time for that game. Maybe Samir Carruthers, you know, a former Villa player himself, might come out and give a good game because he was never really given a chance at Villa. He might be someone that we need to look out for.
So, any predictions, mate? We've kind of come in winding down now. Any predictions that you feel for this match? Could it be a high score or a low score? What do you think will happen?
This is an interesting one. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game whatsoever. I can understand why someone might say that it is. But despite the fact that both of these sides have leaky defences as of late, I think the biggest problem is that neither of these sides seem to be able to grab a goal at the moment. Even for some reason or another, Billy Sharp and Leon Clark over the last few games just haven't been doing it. This is a show. I mean, we obviously drew to Millwall last week, 0-0. Sheffield United lost 3-1 to them. You know, clearly they're not doing a very good job of breaking down sides at the moment. My prediction is Sheffield United come over to Villa. They give us a little bit of a scare. But really, this one is either going to be a 0-0 or a 1-0 to me. And it's all down to whether or not Steve Bruce decides to make the right decision on playing a forward. If we go out into that game and Onuma plays and, you know, we don't have a recognised striker on the pitch, it will be 0-0. But if he does something different, if we try to throw, you know, another cog into the machine, so to speak, play Scott Hogan, Gabby Agbonlahor, you know, do something a little bit different, I can predict a 1-0 victory. I don't think Sheffield United are going to score.
I'm going to go for the 3-2, mate, to Villa.
You think this is going to be a high-scoring game?
Yeah, I mean, 3-2 doesn't sound like that much of a high-scoring game compared to their previous ones, you know, the 5-4 and all that. But I guess in relative terms, it is. Villa, I don't remember the last time we've scored a bunch of goals on a team, and I don't remember the last time we've really fought back to get anything apart from that Leeds match. So I think a good performance here would really set us up for a good Christmas period. But losing or drawing is going to be absolutely demoralising, man.
I don't think we'll lose. I honestly don't think we'll lose because I think Sheffield United are that you know, they're sulking big time at the moment. Yeah, they were performing at such a good rate a few games ago, and now all of a sudden, you know, getting a couple of defeats in has just absolutely shattered their confidence. And they don't know how to get back from it. I think Villa, in all fairness, have shown some resiliency. This bunch of players have shown some resiliency over the last couple of years. We've had bad runs and we do come back. We do come back from it and we are capable of putting something together. I think we're the stronger side mentally and I think that Steve Bruce should be able to rally them a little bit more. We're not an awful side, James. It's a case of some silly decisions being made every now and then. You know, and I think so long as the management do their job during the week and pick the right side, there's no reason why we should be letting Sheffield United, you know, really do anything to us.
Well, thank you very much for your predictions, mate. I think it's one we can kind of look forward to and one we can have some optimistic feelings about. There's going to be a big crowd at Villa Park. They might be opening up the Trinity Stand again at the top bit. So they might, you know, it might even be a sellout, who knows? And that'd be good to see for the first time since like this time last year against Burton. So yeah, again, thank you very much. Any final thoughts on these two games, the Derby game that just happened, Steve Bruce, the lack of a striker, or any thoughts going forward into the Sheffield United match? that you'd like to finish off with?
Yeah, I think Steve Bruce is making a lot of enemies at the moment. I'd say that to all Villa fans at the moment, let's not get, you know, too on his back in terms of let's not call for a sacking or whatever. It's, we're not at that point whatsoever. He has, of course, put us in a decent position at some point a couple of months ago. He managed to get us off to a decent run. You know, fair play to him. We're doing a lot with a lot of players out injured. You know, we're having to struggle through a period which we're not surprised we're struggling through whatsoever. But I just want to say that I never again in my entire lifetime as a Villa fan ever want to see a start without a striker again. Like, that is an absolute embarrassment in my mind.
Some strong words there, mate.
Mate, it's an embarrassment, right? When you put out a team like that and you don't put a forward out there, you are basically saying, you know what? I don't think we're going to win this game. You know, we'll give it a go, but we're here for the taking. Do what you want to us. And for me, like, yeah, it's just not on. It's not fair on the fans at all. And it's not fair on the players either. It's not fair on Odoma. It's not fair on Snodgrass. It's not fair on Jack Grealish. You know, it's not even fair on Josh Onoma, because they're going to be having to work all throughout the game and have no one to put the ball in the box to. And I'm sorry, but unless you're Pep Guardiola, unless you're a world-class manager, Steve, you're not going to make a false nine system work at Villa. So that's all I have to say to end this. I'm positive going forward with Villa. We've got January coming up. We're surely going to be making good signings, but I never again want to see a start without a striker up top. It's an embarrassment. It's a disappointment. It's not fair on other fans.
Well, Villa have been leapfrogged by Derby. Derby are now fourth on 41 points. Villa are now fifth on 37 points, equal with the team that visit Villa Park next Saturday, like Sheffield United on 37 points in sixth place. It wouldn't be disastrous if we get a bad result, but we really need to start thinking about beating the teams around us and then moving on to maybe look at Bristol, Cardiff and Wolves and target those teams. But again, we don't really want to lose to Sheffield United. And yeah, it's not doomsday yet, mate, as you've said, but we're looking for something more positive, something that we can record next week, something we can go, yes, we're going to take this Christmas period and we're going to bang it, we're going to get a bunch of points and we're going to be looking again at automatic promotion. You know, losing to Derby, not the end of the world. It's one of the most difficult fixtures that Villa. It just brings up the nervousness, the anxiety and the cracks, doesn't it? The cracks in the team.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? When have we ever had a good Christmas period? I swear we perform like this every single season around December. I think as far as I can ever remember, including the Premier League.
Yeah, it's nothing new, mate. But again, not the end of the world. We're in fifth place. Sheffield United, big chance to make another statement and again put the fear in the Championship. But man, if you've been listening to this, guys, we would appreciate any feedback you can give, any reviews on iTunes, you know, sharing, speaking to us. You can catch him at DH Raja on Twitter. We always do like speaking to people, especially about what we've discussed on the podcast. So yeah, if you're feeling it, get in touch with us. We always like to hear from people, right, Dan?
Absolutely. Love hearing your feedback, and I love that a lot of you have gotten really heated earlier on Twitter, you know, after a bit of our discussion previewing this podcast. And we want to see it all week. Be sure to obviously be following at 7500 to halt, where of course we will keep on pushing all the Villa news, and where you will be the first to hear about anything which is going on with Aston Villa, and keep the conversation going, guys. And as James said, I just want to reiterate, any ideas you have, especially considering we've got the Christmas podcast coming up, please do throw them at us.
Yeah, same time, same place next week. We'll catch you after the Sheffield United match. So have a good time, guys, and see you again, hopefully after a Villa win. Goodbye.